The following is a conversation between His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and Mr. Hennis from the International Labour Organization, recorded May 31st, 1974, in Geneva, Switzerland.
I come from the International Labour Organization, which is an organization in the United Nations family. It's the second organization after the United Nations itself, and it's interested in every form of labour, every form of activity connected with labour, and the protection of the worker. And in many respects, of course, our preoccupations must overlap with yours in certain respects as activities of man in general and his protection and his well-being.
So, according to our Vedic conception, the labor class is supposed to be in the fourth class. First class man, intelligentsia, very intelligent, learned, or intelligent one who can understand up to God. To understand God, he requires great intelligence. So, first intelligent class of men have to, they are called Brahmana. The next intelligent class men, those who give protection to the society, Kshatriyas, and the third class, those who produce food and distribute, their third class, and all others, their fourth class.
My organization is in fact concerned with the well-being of all four classes. It's not only with the laboring men, also primarily with the producers, but also with the managers, the leaders, and to a certain extent also with the protected classes, in that we are interested in the well-being of policemen, hospital personnel, doctors, nurses, that kind of social security workers, and that kind of person. We are interested in the intelligentsia, in that they are professional workers, often independent, whose professional rights and obligations need to be safeguarded and codified. Laid down in the form of international labour standards, one of our activities. Not perhaps now the most important, but one of the first.
No, my point is that because one is fourth class, therefore we are not interested in that. It is not my point. My point is that there are four classes of men. First class, second class, third class, fourth class. And our point of view, this Krishna consciousness movement, is meant for taking care of all classes of men. Although, by natural divisions, there are four classes of men, first class, second class, third class, fourth class. But the example generally given is like in your body, there are four divisions. The head division, the arm division, the belly division and the leg division. But all of them meant for keeping the body fit.
Yeah.
And body is meant for giving supply to everyone.
Yeah.
But if you comparatively make division, the head comes in first division. The arm comes in second division, the belly comes in third division, and the leg comes in fourth. So we should organize in such a way that all the classes are men in the society. Be happy. Not that we simply take care of the head. The same example. In your body, it is not your business. Just simply take care of the head or the leg. No, all the divisions of your body. You take it. That is healthy body. When your brain is working nicely, when your arms are working nicely, your abdomen is working nicely and legs are working nicely, then you are fit. If you simply take care of the legs, not of the brain, that is not a good healthy body.
Yeah. I think
so. Just let me finish. So United Nations is taking care of the fourth class department of the society. What? They are taking care of the first class department. That is my question.
He's asking, what are they doing to care for that first division?
They are at the present moment in the society, there is very, very little care for the first class intellectual class of men.
The International Labour Organization has as one of its major aims to promote social justice. And that means that every class of worker, if you like, except the four categories that you mentioned, the intellectual, the productive, the protective, and the laboring classes, should each have their proper place in society, should each have a full measure of human dignity, and should each have a proper share in the rewards for labor, both purely material rewards, and honors and dignity and leisure and time for free time for meditation and so on. In the International Labour Organization, we are not, like UNESCO, devoted to the more philosophical and cultural and educational aspects for the intelligentsia. But I would draw your attention to the fact that the UNESCO is very much concerned with looking after the head part of society.
So that is my request.
Well, that's UNESCO. That I can't answer upon very fully. But I would suggest that they are, in that way, UNESCO, United Nations through UNESCO, is very active in promoting culture and in stimulating philosophical thought. We, on our side, are more concerned with the place of the worker in society. And our organization is conceived on a peculiar model, which we call the tripartite system. The members of our organization are states, not governments, but states. And each state is represented in our conference by two government delegates, one delegate of the employers and one delegate of the workers. And so the decisions that are reached, the same pattern goes down through the other organs of the organization. But the decisions that are reached in the International Labour Organization are thus not decisions which are only those of the government or the governing classes. They are decisions which represent a very broad consensus of agreement between both the employers and the workers, as well as governments. And to that extent, we do hope to find agreed solutions that have a very wide basis of ratification. After they are agreed upon by these three different elements of society represented in our International Labour Conference and in the other organs of the International Labour Organization, we endeavour to get the decisions ratified by national governments. In other words, the people who are here go back to their countries and try and get the decisions ratified, so that a measure of uniformity in social justice and in the treatment of labour and in the protection of labour and in social security and in occupational safety and health and all of these things which are bound up with work and also payments to professional workers such as architects, nurses, doctors, people who work on a quite independent basis without being employed, not necessarily employed, veterinarians and so on, the conditions of employment for
according to basic conception, the higher class of men, first class, second class, third class, they never to be employed. They remain free. Only the fourth class men, they are employed.
Well, the third class would be what kind of
yes.
Typical work?
Third class men means making provision for the society, for eating. That is, it is stated, Krishi Gorakha Manijam. Krishi means agriculture.
Yes.
And Gorakha means cow production. And Manijam means trade. That means the third class man, they would give protection to the cows, produce enough food grain, and if there is excess, then it can be trade.
Yeah.
So this is the business of the third class man.
That would cover businessmen and tradesmen,
yeah,
and farmers.
Yes.
The International Labour Organization is very much
concerned with rule. Means, now there is a statement, especially in the Western country, I see, the farmer means they are raising cows for being killed. There is no cow protection.
That may well be the case. There's, it's not by any means certain.
I've seen in England, I've seen in America, they simply raise the cows for being killed in future. Okay?
Yes.
But the duty of the agriculturist, they should give very, very protection to the cows, especially.
This doesn't apply to bulls and bullocks and my animals generally.
No, bullocks also. Cow means bullock also.
Oh, I see.
Yes. And cow is feminine, bullock is the masculine. Yes.
So they don't, so it's the whole bovine race that's protected and not just the cows themselves. Not just the female cows.
No, both the male and female.
Yes.
The bullocks are used for so many other purposes. They can till the hill.
Yes.
They can be used for transportation.
Yes.
So many other purposes.
Yes.
We are spreading Krishna consciousness. During Krishna's time, Krishna was born of a very wealthy father. But at that time, the bullocks were engaged for transportation from one village to another, or for carrying goods. Actually, the United Nations should now think how the whole human society can live peacefully for a purpose of life, not physically, without any purpose. Now, anywhere, we are preaching, we are going everywhere. If I ask any gentleman, any philosopher, any scientist, if I ask him, what is the purpose of life?
Siganadetsu.
That means there is lack of intelligent class on that. Nobody knows what is the purpose of life.
Well, I think that the International Labour Organization is devoted to the reduction of inequalities between the different classes of men with a view to giving them all a better share of the good things of life, and by that to enable them to reach a greater degree of human happiness.
Yes.
As they understand it, as the people themselves understand it. It may be that they don't understand it right.
Nature's way is not better share, but equal share. It's like when you take foodstuff, put it in the stomach, and when it is easily digested and transformed into different secretion, and comes to the heart and becomes blood, there is equal distribution. Not that because brain is first class, therefore the blood transformation to the brain should go more. No, then it will be blood pressure, high blood pressure. Mm. This is nature says that. But when the energy goes to the brain, it acts differently. When the energy goes to the hand, it acts differently. The electricity energy is the same. But sometimes by watching on the dictaphone, sometimes on the microphone, sometimes in electric heater, sometimes in refrigerator, the different apparatus are there. But the energy is the same. Then, in that sense, the communistic idea that whatever energy is there, whatever resources are there, they can be equally distributed. Like, that is nature's way. From the body we can understand that when the uksa turns into secretion, goes to the heart and becomes blood, the blood is transfused through different veins, to different parts of the body, and in time every body is satisfied.
When you say equal shares, in certain things like food, I think that would probably be true of the general approach of...
I am not thinking of the food. I am speaking of the benefit. Benefit should be equally shared. Now, benefit means, suppose you can eat more than me. You can eat, say, half a pound of pusta, or I can eat 1 pound pusta. So, to give me food, 1 pound, and to give him food, 1/2 pound. That is equal, because I require so much. Similarly, the benefit must be equal. As far as you require, I require, that therefore we call it benefit. There is not, I mean to say, discrimination in deriving the benefit out of the energy produced in the body. Then everything is all right. And if the brain works nicely, if the arms work nicely, if the stomach works nicely, and the legs work nicely, then you are a healthy body. You can do everything very nice.
And then in taking the analogy in terms of the world society, you have a society which is properly integrated and properly balanced. This is an idea which is by no means alien to the...
My original point was that if we take simply care of the fourth class division of the society,
yes,
do not take care of the first class, Girishananda Kripalu. Then, in spite of taking care of the fourth class society, it will not grow very nice. Because the brain is not in order.
No. I think that, in fact, that my organization is really intimate.
That was my point. You are taking of the labor.
Well,
that is just like the leg.
Well, labor in fact means any kind of work, any kind of activity, any kind of occupational activity that brings in...
But you cannot say the any kind of activities, but everyone has got particular type of...
Quite so.
You cannot say, I can do any kind of work. I can give you advice, our spiritual life. But if you require medical advice, then you have to go to somebody else.
Yeah.
You cannot expect medical advice from me. So this is not a fact that everyone can do everything.
No, I agree.
There must be division. And each division must be maintained very nicely, then the whole society is over.
That I would agree with. And my organization...
Perhaps one difference is that when we speak about the first class, or the head division, the intellectual class, we're speaking about a class that is people who belong to that class by qualification. Not simply that they have some title, that they are professor, or that they are scholar. They have to be properly qualified.
It's difficult to be a professor or a doctor unless you have some kind of qualification.
Well, he says that it's difficult to be any kind of doctor or professor unless you are properly qualified.
No, from this point of view, right, unless he has got a medical degree, unless he's educated, he also says that unless one is sufficiently educated in medical science or legal science, he cannot be said a medical man or a legal man.
You see, my organization represents all the states in the world, practically, all the states of any importance in the world, with the exception of a few like Monaco and San Marino and Andorra and that kind of place. And through my organization, the states of the world, and that doesn't only mean governments, express their concern and endeavour to improve the lot of all of the people who are active in some way in the economy and in modern society. These may be professional workers. We don't deal with medical doctors because that is the province of the World Health Organization. We don't deal with teachers because and university professors and philosophers and so on, because that is more the province of UNESCO, and they deal with it very thoroughly. We don't deal by any means fully with the actual production of foodstuffs. This is the FAO, the Food and Agriculture Organization, that does it. But what we do, we look after the rewards that people get for the work they do in the ordinary way of life as employees in offices, in banks, in commerce, in shops, in trading. We are very interested in developing rural areas and in improving the lot of the rural worker, so that the rural worker will no longer be under a disadvantage by comparison with the workers in the towns, so that they will have proper facilities, proper leisure and proper opportunities for self-improvement in the country.
In America, the labor class is very highly paid.
Yeah.
Anyone, any labor class man can earn $25, $50 daily, very easily. But because there is no direction of the brain, these labor class of men, I have seen, they, especially this Negro, 51% of their drunkards, they spend their money in drinking. They do not know have to utilize the money. Because the brain is not giving direction. They have no brain. They have got so much money, how else can you utilize? As soon as he gets money, he uses it for drinking. You may think that you are sufficiently paying to the labor class, worker class, but because he is not guided by brain, he is misspending the money.
We are interested in that too. We don't want to tell people how to spend their money. We think that this would be an incentive.
You have got to say, because he has not brain, because he is not guided by the brain, he will misspend and create disturbance in the society.
Well, we try to look after that in an indirect way. We don't, as I said, we don't tell people how to spend their money. We don't tell them what to do in their free time. We do try to make sure that they have proper facilities for leisure, that they have proper opportunities, sports grounds, swimming pools and so forth, although that's not our primary concern. But what we do try to do, and this will interest you very much, we have a very big program concerned with workers' education. We endeavor to provide programs of education to the worker in teaching him how to understand the problems of modern industry, to understand the problems of management, the people on the other side of the table, of the bargaining table, to understand how to read a balance sheet, for example, in a company, to understand what are the problems that face the management as distinct from the workers in a firm, to understand the basic rudiments of economics and finance, and that kind of thing. And this is a very highly developed program which is addressed to adult workers. Now, clearly, if a man wants to drink, he wants to drink. But we feel, and we then are not interested in the drink particularly, except in that it represents a hazard at work. When it represents a hazard at work, and it may be dangerous to the man in his occupation, there, of course, we are interested in it, and we try to limit it in such ways that it is possible to limit it. But we do feel that by improving the man's
story, if I may mention this connection, Rupanuga Maharaj, one of our students, before joining the movement, was a social worker.
Hmm.
And he told me once a story about a particular case of a woman who was in a very destitute position. Her husband was in the hospital. She had five children, and one was so many problems were there. And Rupanuga was going and giving her weekly money from the government welfare check. And one day he came unexpectedly, because part of the job was to see how they were using the money. And he found her there in her apartment with a strange man, and drugs and alcohol on the floors, and the children running naked. And he was obliged to stop giving her the money, simply because there had been no proper use of it. There was no point in giving it. It was not doing her any good. To improve her situation superficially wasn't improving the situation at all.
Yes. Well, of course, it's only by a long-term general program of cultural improvement that you can hope to overcome that kind of problem. On the other hand, it would be, I think, wrong to argue from that experience that the provision of welfare benefits to all people who are destitute should be stopped. You see, it's true that these things are abused. It's true these are abused, but the fact that a good thing is abused doesn't turn it into a bad thing.
No, that is not the point. No. The point is that everyone should be guided by the brain. Therefore, the brain must be mentioned. That is all.
Well, as I say, to the extent that it has a bearing on improving a man's position in his job, improving his skills at work, and improving his ability to represent his fellow men in trade unions, and that kind of thing, we are concerned with it. We're concerned with generally improving his general culture, his general education, and in particular his education as a worker in relation to
industrial and trade union life in general. We hope that by this means a man will improve his status, and by improving his status he'll have other things to think about than just getting drunk.
But that's the... We
find that in our society, all of our men, in whatever particular capacity of work they have, are now 100 times more productive than they were before they came to Krishna consciousness. Simply because now they have found peace of self, and therefore they're in a better position to execute their prescribed duties successfully.
Are you saying that they do more work?
Yeah.
No.
Who was engineer?
Not that. To be very hard working like ass without an intelligence. It's like ass, the most hard working animal. But it has no intelligence. Okay. So we don't want that. We want working with intelligence. And that is it.
Well, as I said, to that extent, we do try to improve a man's understanding. A man's understanding of the world. And I agree with the developed world, the industrialized world.
If he is not guided by the brain, or if he has no brain, well, what is understanding? Understanding is, I've got money, now let me drink. That's all.
Yes. He can't govern by his brain either. He can't force a man to use his brain.
Therefore, brain, in that dimension, how the world society should keep a class of men who act as brain and guide everyone so that everyone becomes happy.
That's a valid point, because it has always been found in every society that there is a need for a priestly class or a class of philosophical leaders of one kind or another. And in fact, this is recognized in the whole of the world society. I think not only in the West but in the East too. There's a need for
the so-called religious.
Priestly society.
They are amending the biblical injunction according to their whims. Just like in the Bible, the injunction is, thou shalt not kill. But the priestly class and all classes, they are simply killing. So how they can guide? They are keeping regular slaughterhouse for killing. So how they can guide? I have asked so many Christian gentlemen, including priests, and they call, your injunction is that thou shalt not kill. That is Lord Jesus Christ's order. Why you are violating this? They give me vague answers. Directly it is said, thou shalt not kill. And the whole world is simply killing poor animals and killing up to their slaughterhouse.
Well, I suppose they're adopting the principle that you yourself advocated just now. You said that the proper society is one which is
based on Latin brain.
But the whole world, apart from human beings, the animal world is entirely composed of beings that eat one another. The only beings that have never eaten are whales and elephants. All of the others are eaten by some bigger animal. And I suppose that the justification that they have for maintaining slaughterhouses is just a cleaner way of killing than for a lion to jump on the back of an antelope.
What is it?
Just a cleaner way of killing.
It is the natural order that all animals there are many species of animals that eat flesh.
Yeah.
And that man is simply following the natural order.
Natural, but that means he should become animal. Like he should imitate like the animal. That is man's progress.
Well, that's no doubt the rationale.
I understand your point. That we also say that any living entity has to live by eating another living. That is nature. Jiva jiva so jivana. It is said in the Vedic literature.
Yeah.
That one living entity is the food for another living entity.
That is true.
Just hear me. But when you come to the form of human being, you should have discrimination.
Yes.
If you have no discrimination, simply live like animal, then what is the difference? My only point is the lack of brain. Human being, they are given by nature. They are also like the fruits, the vegetables, the food grains, the meal, the sugar. They have got enough food value, and human beings should be satisfied within this group. Why they should maintain several house and do not think that they are not sinful and still they want to be happy without caring for God? That is lack of brain.
My organization is not directly concerned with giving people brains.
Yes, organization may not be directly concerned.
It's not giving people brains.
But the human society, if it is brainless,
however
organization you may make, it will never become happy.
And it is concerned with taking away the obstacles that prevent people from obtaining brains.
So, this is the obstacle.
One of the obstacles is just plain poverty. One of the obstacles is overwork.
A human being should be considered. Everyone has got religion. Either he is Hindu or Muslim or Christian, it doesn't matter. There must be discrimination between sinful activities and pious activities.
Yes.
Human beings should be engaged for pious activities, not for sinful activities. That is human society. If the human being does not discriminate what is pious activity and what is sinful activity, that means lack of brain. He has no brain, he is no better than the animal.
Well, perhaps to make it clear for you, one of the natural results of this system is that a man that might be considered today impoverished, as you were mentioning, for example, some of the problems, a poor man, by our standards, is not necessarily poor if he is Krishna conscious. For example, in the Vedic culture, we are learning that a man is considered to be wealthy if he simply has a small patch of land and a cow and God consciousness, because his God consciousness will lead him to be satisfied by growing his own foods, taking milk from the cow. This is wealth according to Vedic standard.
Therefore, cow is specially recommended. Goruksha, who is a very important animal to the society. If those who are meat eaters, they can eat the hogs and dogs, they can eat. The Vedic invention is not prohibiting them. If you actually a human being does not require to eat meat, he has got many other substitutes. But still, if he wants to eat, let him eat the less important animal. Let's say dog, hog. From the social point of view, it has no utility.
Yes.
But why killing cows? It is delivering such a nice, nutritious food, milk. Not only milk, science, according to Vedic system, the cow is so important, even the urine, even the stool of cow is important. Besides that, from moral point of view, you are drinking the milk of cow, and after that you are sending to the slaughterhouse. Do you like to send your mother to the slaughterhouse?
Yeah.
And the bull, in doing, producing your food. Nowadays they have invented tractor, or engaging sometime horse, but in India state, the bulls are engaged for tilling the ground, the field, and producers. So, from moral sense, the bull is producing your food, and the cow is giving milk to you. Therefore, father and mother, just like father produces food for the children, and mother gives the milk. So if the human society has not this simple brain of understanding, then where is brain?
Because when you speak of the distinction to be made between pious activities and sinful activities,
they have no such
distinction. There
is no such distinction.
You have to establish first of all.
No, it is already there.
Processes of sin.
It is already there. Just as in the Bhagavad Gita, as you say, that krishi goraksha banijam. Those who are interested in producing means of living or foodstuff in the society, say the mercantile, the agriculture, they should give protection to the cows. That is very essential. That means milk is so important thing. If you get now we have in your Western country we have introduced such ideas in West Virginia. We have started one community project where we are keeping cows also. The cows are giving more milk than in other parts. That's so jubilant. Even up to 80 pounds milk they are giving. Because they know that these people will not kill me. They know it. They are very happy. We don't kill their calves. In other farms, as soon as the calf is there in front of the mother, they are killed. So, if these things go on without any brain, without any intelligence, you may make hundreds of organizations. The society will never be here. This is your point.
Your point was that the people need to be taught what is sin and what is pious activity?
Well, they can't be accused of engaging in sinful activities. They don't think that what they're doing is sinful.
Therefore, if they have no knowledge what is sinful, simply by instruction, don't do something sinful. They were used. They must know. We give in the beginning in our society, these are sinful activities. What is that? Meat eating, sinful. And gambling, illicit sex, and intoxication. You must give. All these European American boys, they are habituated to all these things from the very birth. They did not know they are sinful. But since they have come to me, I say these things are sinful. They did not. So you must know what is the law of nature, what nature wants. Nature does not want, at least human beings should be sinful. Then you will be punished.
I think that there, in your orthodoxy, there must be a very large number of points of coincidence with the more materialist activities that we engage in.
That is
that, just trying to give people a fair share of the material things of life, and proper wages, decent houses, decent opportunities for feeding and for leisure.
And all that must be there, but without proper instruction simultaneously as to what is the goal of life.
Yes, but I don't think you can properly expect to indoctrinate people. I don't think at least you can't expect an international organization to indoctrinate people at the national level. I'm sure that the...
No, it is not national. It should be international.
Yes.
Just that everyone, United Nations, it is meant for international activity. Our only proposition is that as the international organization, even in United Nations, they should keep a class of men who should act as brain, then it is all right. Well, without brain, simply legs and hands working, no direction, that is not very good.
I think you have to see the secretary of the United Nations and the United Nations family of organizations, not so much as leaders and bosses and generals, if you like, but rather as the servants of mankind. I don't consider myself to be a leader.
Why did we get the chance?
I'm very much a servant of mankind with a view to helping people to reduce the differences between them, with a view to helping people to understand one another better. In my own particular branch in which I'm concerned, we endeavour to make people understand one another in the manner of an interpreter, if you like, to show that they can allow people to speak and understand of one another, and to enable them to comprehend each other's problems and understand why
there is actual brain. There's no problem. Just like if I've got good brain, I want to take this thing in my pocket. But if I've got brain, now this will be stealing. Then I can refrain from it. But if I think that it is lying here, I can take what is
there. I think that your effort of philosophy and teaching must really be directed in the present state of affairs where countries are organized in the form of national states, must really be directed to the national leaders, the government, the people who exercise temporal and spiritual power in the various sovereign states. The United Nations is a forum for these sovereign states. The International Labour Organization is a forum for the sovereign states on certain subjects related to labour.
Whatever subject may be, our point is the same. You just try to understand. You can organize so many, but if there is lack of brain, the brain is not in order, then any amount of sub-organization will never be successful. That is my
point. Yes, but there, some people are better endowed with brains than others.
Mm-hmm.
Some people haven't got brains or not much brains.
But at least the direction must have brains. That's the point.
Yeah, then, this is the work of the first class man, this is the work of the second class man. Just like any organization, any office, these are for these men, the class, these are meant for the superintendent, these are meant for me. Everywhere, there must be organization. Not that everyone should work individually. No. There must be a managing board, managing director. He is giving direction. Under his direction, everyone is organized. So the United Nations, this was organized for the total benefit of the human society, but there is no department which is actually can be called the brain organization.
That's true.
That's true. That is my point.
To the servants of the membership, and the membership of the international other states of the world, and if the governments of the states of the world, if Mr. Giscard d'Estaing, Mr. Nixon, and Mr. Wilson, and all the others don't have brains, then I'm afraid the United Nations can do nothing to give them brains.
We
are only the servants of these people. What we try and do is
let them understand.
Get together and help them understand.
At least let them understand what they should do, what they should not do. This much.
Yes, we do try to do, to the extent that it is possible for the Secretariat to shape and evolve a philosophy. We do try to do it, but of course we can't adopt a completely radical approach. We do what we can in the manner of a good servant and the manner of a good steward to try and help the leaders along the right path in the right direction. Mm. Divine Grace, I thank you very much indeed for this audience. It's been very kind of you.
I may be mad. I've talked so many things.
It has been very interesting indeed, and I thank you very much indeed for giving me
this. I'm very much I mean, strict on this point, that if the society does not know what is sinful and what is bad, it is all useless.
Well, let's hope so, Sylvia.
It can be a decoration. That we describe the decoration of the dead body. Anyone who has no brain, lost all brain, it is a dead body. So, a dead body you can decorate to your full satisfaction. But what is the use of decorating a dead body?
Well, thank you very much.
You don't prefer. Please sit down for a moment.
I have to go because I have a...
If you can wait just 2 minutes, one tradition is that we always offer our guests prasad and foodstuffs when we prepare.
Thank you very much.
Just one.
I have to go very shortly.
Well, I'm going to downstairs.
No, I'm giving.
May I? Thank you very much, sir. It's very kind of you. Thank you.
Enjoy. Yes. Thank you.
They come and they put forward their idea, and if you don't like it, well, oh. But if you like it, oh, very good man. They have their own idea.
What is nonsense?
They don't take advantage.
From the result, you see nobody is happy. What is this happy? They have big scientists, big politicians, where is it? People are happy. They are simply fighting. Now, recently, in Rome, Italy, the communist and the fascist fought, and 6 innocent persons died. So where is the benefit of this inattention? They do not have really brain, manufacturing something, concocting something. Where is the brain? They have no discrimination between sinful activity and pious activity.
He admitted it.
Huh?
He admitted it.
Yes. In my any sane man will admit it. Cow is giving milk, mother, and bull is producing food, his father, and they have been killed. Is that human society? How they can be happy? There is no possibility. Regularly they are maintaining, slaughter, especially for the cows and bulls. Why don't you slaughter the dogs and horses and eat? If you are a meat eater, there are many meat eaters who eat dogs. Dog is useless, you can eat. A hog is also useless. They are eating also dog and hog, everything. Whatever they are.
His point was that he was thinking that man has the capacity for resolving his own problems. Simply we have to come together and organize.
Yeah, that is in natural organization. Why do they not think all these things?
There's no direction.
There's no brain. Therefore, for the last 20 years, before that, in our younger days, in League of Nations, that was formulated in 1918-19. So they're trying to unite the whole nation under the different names from 18, apart from other years. So, for the more than 55-60 years, they are all good brains of the nation. What they have got? That means they have no brain. The problems are increasing. Instead of decreasing the problem, they are increasing.
Use the example that in the United States
now there are fights between two opposite nations. Now within the nation there are so many opposite parties they are fighting. So instead of nationwide, it has become homely affair. My home, your home, fight. Yes. All they belong to the same nation. So what is the improvement? Now in Italy, the Fascist Party and the Communist Party, they fought, and so many people died. So this will increase, increasing. Partyism. So where is the brain?
So then the first point is to educate people who they are serving, who they are working for?
Yes. First of all, there must be a class of men, ideal men, brain, people in power. My quest is therefore that you should become ideal men. If we fight now, there is fighting amongst ourselves. That is a very disappointment to me. The same politics intrigues. The nature is so strong that brain becomes response. Has brain? Brain becomes deranged.
I remember when I walked in Vrindavan, the Divine Grace said that there should be no politics in our society, because the Vaishnava means one who wants to help others become happy.
Now politics is coming. As soon as they're getting money, the politics are coming. And that is a great concern.
What will happen to our temples in the cities? Will we keep them? Our temples, and the big temples we have now.
We have to go everywhere. Wherever there is opportunity to instruct about this spiritual subject matter, we have to go there. We should not have such discrimination. The city should be neglected. No. Why? There are also human beings. They're misled. So we have to give them a little instruction. Everywhere. The city, there is no possibility. Whatever we have collected our men, there's from the city, not from the village. So what is the neglect city? Where is the question? All hobgoblin, only the last one who says, dressing the dead body, decorating the dead body. The society has no brain, that means dead body. When a man's brain is gone, his dead body, maybe there's no use. It's like madman. He has got life, but what is the use of that life? He's not in dead. Because his brain is dead. Is it not? So the brain is lost, brain is dead, and therefore it is dead body. There is a distinction between living body and dead body. A living man has no brain. He can work with his brain. And the dead body, the body is there. Why he call it dead? His brain is not working. Brain is dead. That is the difference. Whether the hand is there, and the dead man has also hand. The leg is there, the dead man has a leg. But why the hand is dead? Because the brain is dead.
Is it that the Shudra class of men should be trained that they're serving either God or a God-conscious leader, or should they be educated to feel that their work is for God.
Yes, provided you are for God, they will see Allah. If you simply teach them, you do not do anything. And then how they love? When they actually see that these men are dedicated to God, then they do what they do.